be talking about the armor of God, but we're going to zero in on one piece of this armor. But don't forget to put all the pieces on. Paul says put on the whole armor of God. You can't leave any of these out, but we're going to talk about the first piece. It must be very important because Paul mentions it first. So we're going to zero in on this belt of truth today. Let's begin reading in verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore." I think Paul wants us to stand, don't you? or God the Holy Spirit wants us to stand. He's mentioned that already four times, I think. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Pastor, would you pray for us this morning? Amen. Thank you, Pastor. You may be seated. You know, there's a war going on today, and it's not against flesh and blood. The Bible says it's against the devil. That's the ultimate war. It's heaven versus hell. It's Jesus versus Satan. It's the church against this world. I tell you what, it's a war, and our society is changing. Boy, the fighting is getting a little bit tougher out there. Every time I turn on the news or read the news, it's hard to believe what's happening in our country. We're going to be in Columbine Baptist Church here in about a week from today. And you remember the Columbine shooting? Two boys went in and shot up their schoolmates, 13, I believe they killed, and then turned on themselves, their guns, and suicide is rampant today. And it seems like people don't have any firm foundation on which to stand. And the church we're going to be at is just a mile down the road from where that shooting took place. In fact, they had a lot of kids come in for counseling and comfort and help during that tragedy. This church did, and Brother George Abbas is the good pastor there. We're going to have a all-day meeting on Sunday, but Sunday night is going to be geared more for the kids and family, and Monday night as well, sort of going to be sort of like a miniature vacation Bible school Sunday night and Monday night. So we're looking forward to that, and pray the Lord to touch hearts and lives and people to get saved. But you know, our society is changing. I wish I could stand here this morning and tell you that our culture, our country is better off than it was when I was a boy. Boy, we have so many conveniences today too. All these gadgets. I think we could do without the gadgets if we could just go back and be like we once were, when we had more respect, when we had more fear of God in our country. You know, I can remember a day when truth was respected. I can remember a day even when a drunkard, which I don't remember this, but my grandparents told me about this. My Papa White was born in 1903, I believe. He died in 1969. My grandmother lived till 2001. She was born in 1911, the year before the Titanic was built. But they was talking about stuff, the old time way. How it used to be, Pastor. And I'm interested in how it used to be, because we don't see what it used to be anymore. They talk about my pastor, my grandpa pastored the church, Pleasant Hill, where I got saved, Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And they were talking about the drunkard. By the way, they still are drunkards, you know. They're not alcoholics, they're drunkards. That's what the Bible calls them. We need to get back to Bible terminology. Everybody's trying to sugarcoat everything today. But a drunkard is a drunkard. But back in the day, they would talk about this certain man who would walk down, and he was known as a drunkard. He would walk down Cherokee Falls Highway, which is Pleasant Hill community, and they would watch him as he would walk day by day in front of the church down Pleasant Hill Road. And the church is sitting where this pulpit is, and here's the highway. Pastor, they said he would be walking down the street, and he might be walking on this side of the road till he got to the church property. And you know what he'd do? He'd get on the other side of the road. And then when he got past the church grounds, he would maybe come back over on this side. They watched him do that. What was that drunk man doing? He was showing respect. In other words, a drunkard back in the day had more fear of God in his heart, probably because of what his parents taught him, had more fear of God than many so-called Christians do today. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. And, you know, there's more hope for a man like that than there is a lot of people that don't have any fear of God, that may not drink a drop of liquor. Are you with me? I tell you, our society has changed. You know, truth to many folks today is whatever you might want to believe. Truth to a lot of people is something that you can just make it up as you go along. And I'm afraid with a lot of people today, they say there's really no real abiding, absolute truth. But I'm here to tell you there is real, abiding, absolute truth. And brother, it's written down in these pages, and it will never, ever change. Because truth can't change. If it did, it wouldn't be the truth. I want to ask you a few questions as we get started this morning, talking about this belt of truth. Is truth up for revision? Can you edit the truth? Does truth change with the trends of the day? Is truth up for debate, or is it a concept that changes as our world changes around us? Truth doesn't change. Satan is a liar. Jesus called him a liar in John 8:44. He says, "You are of your father, the devil." And he is a liar, Jesus called him. And I tell you what, folks, if you don't watch, he'll hang one over on you. John says in Revelation chapter 12 that he's out to deceive the entire world. Satan is. He's doing a pretty good job. So many people are deceived today. Have you ever observed how it seems that so many people would rather believe a lie than to believe the truth? What causes people to want to believe a lie? Satan. That's the only answer. Satan. Now, how are we going to stand against the onslaughts of Satan that tries to make us doubt God's word? You know, he started out doing that back in the garden. He tried to make Eve, and he succeeded. He tried to make Eve become skeptical about the word of God. Put a doubt on God's word. That's his main ploy. That's his main strategy, is to cause us to doubt God's truth. How are we going to stand against that? By putting on God's belt. Be girded about with truth. Verse 14, look at it again. The Bible says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." This girdle of truth, Paul mentions it first among these six pieces of armor. May I say to you that truth is synonymous with integrity. Now, Paul was writing this epistle from prison. No doubt he was chained to a Roman soldier. He's probably looking at that soldier up and down. Man, looking at all those pieces of armor. Man, I can get a spiritual lesson out of this. So he begins talking about this leather belt. You ever seen these weightlifters? Brother, they don't wear no belt like this. I mean, a little skinny thing. By the way, you know what this is? This is a fence around a chicken graveyard. Amen. But anyhow, you ever seen these weightlifters? They wear these great big old wide belts. Sometimes these motorcycle riders, they'll have these big old wide belts that they're wearing. Well, this Roman soldier, he had a big old leather belt. And brother, when he went out to battle, he would cinch it up tight. It protected his center. It protected his loins. It was the center of his strength. They would use this belt to hang their weapons on, like their sword or their dagger. And this soldier's belt held everything together. Well, the believer needs a belt called the belt of truth. And brother, it also holds everything together. First of all, you got to know the truth. And then you must believe the truth. And then you need to love the truth and tell the truth, live the truth. And we need to preach the truth. And I tell you what, if you don't have on this belt of truth, everything is going to fall apart. If you're going to be a strong Christian for the Lord, let me give you a tip this morning. Never compromise with error. Just don't go there. Stand for the truth. Paul says, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, how can you know the truth, first of all? Well, you got to get into the book. And then not only that, you got to start obeying the Word of God. And then we need the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, to guide us and to help us. Jesus said in John 16, 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, truth is like that secure belt on that Roman soldier. It holds everything together. Without it, everything comes apart. It's the center of our strength. It's the foundation of our strength. We've got to have it. Let me give you four things this morning about truth. What does truth do for the Christian warrior? First of all, may I say to you that it provides a foundation on which to build. We said that truth equals integrity. If you lack truth in your life, you lack integrity. And the truth is our only sure foundation. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 7 and see what Jesus said about this foundation. Matthew chapter 7, hold your place in Ephesians. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is preaching here. He gives us the parable of these two builders. Notice what he says in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, that's the word of God. Whatever Jesus says is the word of God, because he was the Son of God. He was God the Son. He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, not only that, but doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, who's that rock? The Lord Jesus. He's our rock. 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, there's the word of God again, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. The truth, the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. Did you know that? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to know the truth? You got to know Jesus. He is the embodiment of truth. Jesus is the truth incarnate. You see Jesus, you see the truth. If you hear Jesus, you hear the truth. He is the truth. He's the living Word, the Bible says in John. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. John says in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ was the living Word, but what did Jesus say about this written Word? Well, he said it's the truth. He was praying to his Father in John 17, 17. He said, sanctify them, Father, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 8, 37, Jesus says, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Are you of the truth today? If you are, you will listen to what Jesus has to say. Jesus Christ and his word are the only source for absolute truth. Now, David went up against a powerful enemy, did he not? Goliath? Boy, he was, 10 feet tall, perhaps? Maybe 12, 13, depending on which commentary you read. But he was tall, we know that. He was big. He stood head and shoulders above anybody. And brother, I believe that Goliath was a type of Satan himself. And David went up against him. He's just a young strapping teenage boy. Probably just had some peach fuzz on his chin. Hadn't started even shaving yet. Now, do you think that David went up against this powerful giant, Goliath, and defeated him in his own power, in his own ability, in his own strength? No. How did David defeat Goliath? How did he come up against such a powerful enemy and win? I tell you how. Because he had a heart that was pure. And his purity came from his integrity. David's integrity came from his inward truth. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And in Psalm 51:6, David said, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." That's how David defeated Goliath, because he trusted God with all of his heart. That's how you're going to defeat the giants in your life. You got to trust the Lord with all of your heart. Trust him. I tell you what, the truth will provide you with a foundation on which to build your life. And secondly today, the truth provides freedom from bondage. Did you know we're all slaves? The problem is not with slavery. The problem is who's your master. Now, if you're saved, the Bible says you're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. You've been bought with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, and you're not your own, the Bible says. And I tell you what, when you get saved, you become a bond slave to Jesus Christ. And the truth is the only thing that can deliver you from the bondage of sin. Jesus said in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He said in John 8:34, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Every one of you are slaves today. You're either a servant of sin or you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no middle ground. Problem is not with slavery. The problem is who's your master. If you got the kind of right kind of master, slavery is a good thing. Is Jesus your master today? Are you a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you what, the truth will set you free, brother. You know, the most common form of slavery don't seem like our world has any problem with. What's the most common form of slavery? Slavery to sin. The world don't get up in arms about people being enslaved to sin, do they? Wonder why? Because they're okay with it, right? And who's behind all of that? Satan. I tell you what, the truth will deliver you from the bondage of sin. But not only that, the truth can deliver you from the power of sin. Jesus said in John 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Paul said in Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." Are you being dominated by sin? Paul said, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Said earlier how sweet grace is. Grace will teach you to deny ungodliness, worldly lusts in this present evil world. I tell you, but not only will the truth deliver you, on the other hand, error will debase you. That's the other side of the coin. What does error do to people? Well, a powerful illustration I found in a book called The Day America Told the Truth. Would you like to hear what the people said? It was written by James Patterson and Peter Kim. They were using a survey technique that guaranteed the privacy and anonymity of the respondents. They were able to document what Americans really believe and do. The results were startling, they say. First, they found there was no moral authority in America. Quote, "Americans are making up their own moral codes. Only 13% of us believe in all 10 commandments." I think that's why they gave Judge Moore so much trouble down there in Alabama. Only 13% believe in all 10 commandments. 40% of us believe in 5 of the 10 commandments. We choose which laws of God we believe in. There is absolutely no moral consensus in this country as there was back in the 1950s when all of our institutions commanded more respect. Second, this is what they found. Americans are not honest. Quote, lying has become an integral part of American culture, a trait of the American character. We lie and don't even think about it. You gotten to that point, you are in sad shape. We lie for no reason. The authors estimate that 91% of us lie regularly. Third, marriage and family are no longer sacred institutions. This is true in the church, by the way. Marriage is a fundamental doctrine. It's one of the most fundamental doctrines a church could have is what is marriage? They quote, quote, while we still marry, we have lost faith in the institution of marriage. A third of married men and women confess to us that they've had at least one affair. 30% aren't really sure that they still love their spouse. Fourth, they found that the Protestant work ethic is long gone from today's American workplace. Workers around America frankly admit that they spend more than 20%, which is about 7 hours a week, of their time at work totally goofing off. That amounts to a four-day work week across the nation. The authors conclude by suggesting that we have a new set of commandments for America. 77% of those surveyed said, I don't see the point in observing the Sabbath. Glad you don't fall in that category. You're here. 74% said, I will steal from those who won't really miss it. 64% say, I will lie when it suits me, so long as it doesn't cause any real damage. Probably as long as they don't get caught. I will cheat on my spouse. 53% said this. I will cheat on my spouse, after all, given the chance he or she will do the same. 50% said this. I will procrastinate at work and do absolutely nothing for about one full day in every five. We may say that we are a nation, this is their conclusion. We may say that we are a nation that wants integrity, but apparently a majority of us lack it in our own personal lives. Our nation is only going to be as strong as the people. If the people lack integrity, our nation will lack integrity. If our leaders lack integrity, our country will lack integrity. The truth is the only thing that can help us with standing against the falsehood of the devil. The third thing I want you to see today is the truth provides a fitness for the battle. Do you want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Well, we got to be fit. And we got to be, now what does spiritual fitness require? You got to be prepared. Noah prepared an ark, didn't he? Matthew Henry's commentary states that the belt, this belt we're talking about, girds on all the other pieces of armor, and therefore it's the first one mentioned. You know, this Roman soldier's belt, it held his sword, it held his scabbard. But you know, we as believers, we have a spiritual sword. It's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We read that. 1 Peter 1:13 compares this belt with spiritual preparedness. Peter said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to be prepared as a good soldier of the cross, and that'll keep us productive. We don't need to be slouchy or slothful in this business of serving Jesus, do we? We need to be working, we need to be witnessing, and we need to be watching. Now, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, listen to this, you don't have to turn there, but he said, let your loins be girded about. Jesus said that. I think that shows that we are to be working. Let your loins be girded about. And then he said in verse 35, and your light's burning. I believe that has to do with witnessing. Your light's burning. And then in verse 36, he says, and ye yourselves liken to men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. I believe that shows that his servants are watching, his soldiers are watching. In verse 37, Jesus sums it up. He says, blessed are those servants. The word servants now. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. As good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we need to be working. We need to be witnessing. We need to be watching. The truth will make you fit for the battle. And lastly this morning, the truth provides a footpath to blessing. I want to be blessed of the Lord, do you? Now that doesn't, the Lord can bless us with material things, and he does every day, food, and keeps us sustained in our lives with physical blessings, but I believe the real richest blessings of God are not physical. I believe they're spiritual. I want to have God's richest blessings on my life, and the truth provides a footpath to bless. Do you want to get on that blessing path? Do you want to get on that road that leads to blessing? The truth will do that for you. Nothing else that I know of will do it. The truth will lead you to blessing. Let's look at it. First of all, the psalmist says that the truth is a light unto our path. You know, who's behind all this darkness, this spiritual wickedness in high places that Paul mentioned? Who's behind all that? Satan. He's behind all this darkness. But on the other hand, the Bible says that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And I tell you, the truth will light, give us light unto our path. Sinner friend, the truth will light your path through the cross. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Won't you come to Jesus today? Repent. Put your faith in his shed blood. I tell you what, the truth will set you free. It lights the sinner's path to the cross. It also lights the believer's path to glory, the truth will. Not only is it a light unto our path, the psalmist said it's a lamp unto our feet. I like old barn lanterns, old railroad lanterns. You know, you go out in your barn, you got a lantern in your hand. It helps you keep from stepping in something, don't it? You know, I stepped on a nail yesterday. It was in broad daylight. I should have been watching, brother. But anyway, I tell you, if you're going out in the barn, you don't need a lamp that's going to light up the whole place. You just need enough light to light your next step, don't you? The Bible says the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. I don't need the Lord to show me the next 20 steps I need to take today. That probably confused me. I don't need the Lord to show me the next 10 steps I ought to take. I just need the Lord to show me the very next step. I tell you, you know, if you got the truth of God's Word, it'll help you avoid danger. What could be a better defense for a soldier than to help him to be able to avoid danger? You know, having the ability to avoid a dangerous situation is a tremendous defense. The truth will keep you out of trouble. It helps us through the darkness of this world. It gives us a light for the next step. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The Lord lights our path to blessing. But I tell you what you got to do. You got to start obeying. You remember what Jesus said a while ago? He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. It's one thing to know the Word of God. It's another thing entirely to start obeying it. Has God given you some? Maybe you're a young Christian. Maybe you hadn't been saved very long. I tell you what you need to do. Maybe you don't have a whole lot of light yet, but start obeying the light that you have. Get into God's Word. Obey the light that you have. God will reveal more things to you. He'll give you more light. Obey that. He'll give you some more light. That's the way it works. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more to the perfect day. Are you obeying the light of God that you already have? It'll lead you to more blessing. And finally, not only will it provide a blessing for you, it'll provide a footpath to blessing for those who are coming behind. What about the next generation? What are we going to leave behind for them? The only thing that's going to help this next generation is the truth. Are you living the truth? Are you obeying the truth? Are you setting an example for those who will follow? Are you teaching the truth? I tell you, parents, what's more important than video games is to teach your kids the Word of God. I'm telling you, the devil is out to warp the minds of our kids and cause them to not have a true sense of the fear of God. The only way they're going to get it is through the Word of God and living the life in front of them. Are you setting the right example? Even grandparents, I'm afraid, fail in this. When's the last time you told the biblical account to your kids of David and Goliath? When's the last time you told them about the day that Joshua prayed and God caused the sun to stand still for a whole day? Do your kids know about that? Do your grandkids know about that? One of the greatest events in all of history, and they don't know about that? Whose fault is that? It's yours? Mine? Who's going to teach them? Who's going to tell them the great truths of God's Word? Nobody else. They're not going to get it down at the schoolhouse, unless they're going to a Christian school, hopefully. Brother, it's our job. It's not just the preacher's job either. He does what he can when a couple hours a week, but the main responsibility for this is yours at home. Are you teaching your kids, you teaching your grandkids the truth? Who are you depending on to teach them the truth? It's our job. Nobody else's. It's our job. And I tell you what, the truth will provide a footpath to blessing not only for us, but for those who are coming behind. Paul was young preacher boy Timothy's mentor, was he not? Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Paul says, "I'm teaching you, Timothy." Now it's your job to go out and teach others also. And then it's their jobs to go out and find other people and teach them also. That's how it works. We got to pass the truth on to this next generation. And I tell you what, it's the only footpath to blessing. I want God's blessing on my life, don't you? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you take these simple thoughts about the truth, being girded about with truth. Help us to stand, Lord, in this evil day, and having done all to stand. Pray that you'd bless this time of invitation. Lord, speak to that heart that's lost, undone. Lord, on their way to hell, help them to see that Jesus is the way. He's the only way. He's the truth. He's the only truth. He's the life. He's the only one who can give us eternal life. Help them to run to Jesus today. Bless those that are saved. Lord, I pray that you would convict hearts, Lord, where we have failed you in witnessing and working and watching. Help us to be faithful till Jesus comes. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Let's all stand to our